And if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. And we're going to take a look at the matter at hand here. I have to get there myself first. Romans chapter 8, and let's take a look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, when you look at that verse 17, when it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. It also says that we may be also glorified together. Now, when you're looking at Romans chapter 8, right from verse 14 all the way through verse 39, you're going to have two different sufferings broken down for you. You're going to have the sufferings of this present time. You're going to see that going on from verse 14 all the way to the half of the verses here, which would be like verse 26 to verse 26-27. But then also you're going to see the sufferings of Christ for the remainder of the half of the chapter right here. You're going to see the sufferings of Christ come into play. And what we're going to be talking about here is the sufferings of Christ we're going to be focusing on. And we're not going to do an extensive study on it because we're going to be going in depth on the sufferings of Christ when we get to the latter half of the chapter. So, again, what you're going to see here is we're going to be going over these issues that we have to see what is the sufferings of Christ, the definition of it, and what is the actual benefit that Paul speaks of here, that we be glorified together and things of that nature. So, in looking at this, just at the outset, the sufferings of this present time are the things that you go through on a daily basis, the things that all mankind goes through. And that's going to be things like sickness, crime, death, things because of our own stupidity, things that we do, and we all suffer, that all mankind suffers. Now, the sufferings of Christ is something totally different from the sufferings of this present time, because only a son in Christ, son and daughter in Christ, that's living godly, will go through the sufferings of Christ. Not all justified saints will go through the sufferings of Christ, even though they might say they do. You know, you see people all the time. There was a guy, my local channel TV, he said that they vandalized his church. They spray painted it and they broke into his church over and over repeatedly. And he said he was going through the sufferings of Christ and you know, God has a bigger plan and things of that nature. Well, that's not the sufferings of Christ. What he's going through is the sufferings of this present time. You know, in looking at this denominational church, you probably got more godly, the same amount of godliness going on outside the church than you do have going on inside the church. Because the only way you can go through the sufferings of Christ, you have to think like God does, do things God's way, and work together with him in what he's doing. And when you do that, you will go through the sufferings of Christ. Because in order to go through the sufferings of Christ, you have to follow that path to make that choice to be one that wants to live on to your Father, that wants to partake of the sufferings of Christ. And when you change your way of thinking, whereas you're not thinking as this world does, and you are doing things God's way, when you have that mind of Christ. When you are, as verse 14 says here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When you are led by the Spirit, that means you're led by God's word. So you have people all over the world that say they're Christians, but they're not being led by the Spirit of God. They're being led by whatever the theological school teaches them, whatever their pastor teaches them, whatever this world says. This is the commandments and doctrine of men is what they follow. Regardless what they have on the church or in the church building, that's not being led by the Spirit of God. And only ones that are displaying true godliness can be ones that are partaking of the sufferings of Christ. And let's take a look at that. Come over to 2 Timothy. Come over to 2 Timothy and let's look at chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And another thing, you know, most saints, and like I said at the outset, most saints are not going to go through the sufferings of Christ. You can avoid the sufferings of Christ, but a son and daughter in Christ would want the sufferings. They will want them because they know the value that there is in the sufferings for themselves. They know that not only is it value for themselves, an exceeding eternal weight of glory as being a saint, I mean, as being a son and daughter in Christ, but they know the value that it has in the heavenly places when we suffer. And we should glory in those sufferings. When Satan tries to throw a monkey wrench right before us in our path, what we should do, this is how you glory in those things, is when something comes up and you are suffering, the sufferings of Christ, and we're going to explain what that is a little later, what the sufferings of Christ is, what you do is, it's like you're saying, well, thank you. Thank you for this suffering. Now I have the opportunity to allow God's word to work effectually within me. Now I have another opportunity to glory in these sufferings. I have another opportunity to hone this this gift that I have to suffer, regardless what I see in front of me. I'm not going to look at the things which I see. I'm going to look at the things which are unseen. And the unseen things is the value that we have. And also, what Satan is throwing before you. And the sufferings of this present time are things being ridiculed, being ashamed, suffering through the effects of this, of what we face because we have chosen to be ones that want to live godly in Christ. And these are just some of the things that we go through and some of the effects that we're going to partake of. But on a daily basis, I myself deal with ones who are teach contrary doctrines, that teach contrary doctrines that I'm engaged with on a daily basis, or people themselves who have been corrupted by the effects of this world, that when I hear their doctrine or hear what they're saying, I talk with them, and then there's going to be opposition. There's going to be opposition because of they feel it's something where it's my wisdom versus their wisdom instead of what the Word of God says. So we're gonna face opposition, but as Paul told Timothy, we're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to stay the course. We're not supposed to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ here. But again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's look at verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, For their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, you know, when you're looking at this here, Paul likens these men today that are teaching this, these, as he calls them, the evil men, and he talks about the men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Okay. He calls these guys these things here. This was in Paul's day back then. And these men, what they were saying, it wasn't as contrary. Of course it was contrary, but you got more wickedness going on today than you had at that time. And as Paul says, evil men and seducers in verse 13 shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're just not going to keep doing what they're doing. Excuse me. They're going to wax worse and worse. But Paul is telling you here that just as we know Jannes and Jambres, who the mover and shaker was behind those guys, it was Satan. Now, in these guys also, these are the same people that we have in our midst, on every corner. We have a Jannes and Jambres. We have a men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Doesn't matter how if we've known them all our life. But they're not, like Paul says here, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. If they're not teaching along the fact of Paul's doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, then what they're doing is they're giving you an ungodly doctrine. As Paul said over in Romans 16 about mark them which cause divisions, an offense contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Not say, well, you know, well, they're a church. You know, they say they believe in God. They say they believe in Christ. So, oh well. But the idea is that the movers and shakers of that is Satan. You see here, as Paul says in verse 11, actually verse 10 here, Paul is telling you how to live godly. As he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, because that's what Timothy is to stand upon. His manner of life, his purpose, his faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience in these sufferings. But verse 11, he says, persecutions, afflictions, which came on me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of all of them the Lord delivered me. And he endured them, but the Lord, his outer man endured them. His inner man got delivered, as you see here. And his wife says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. And he's another thing that's unique to notice here. You remember over in 2 Corinthians, we looked at that the past couple weeks. We looked at all the things that Paul listed there. He listed all those things that happened to him. Here, Paul has a new list of persecutions and afflictions. He says, which came unto me at Antioch. He's not going to itemize it of what happened to him, Iconium, at Lystra. And again, the sufferings that Paul faced got worse and worse. The way Satan works is he's going to give you different phases of those sufferings of Christ. You're going to get a lighter phase, then you're going to get another phase, then you're going to get another phase, which is, if this phase doesn't work, as far as the physical part of it, he's going to give it to you in the sense of, just like we've seen over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul talked about that thorn in the flesh, he gave him another phase. And now we see here, these persecutions here and afflictions, you see Paul later on says, all that be in Asia left me. Now you know how that had to affect Paul. When he heard that all the people, in all the ones in Asia, the churches that he established, they all departed from him. They were all turned aside to bad doctrine. That also had to, that had to hurt more than the physical sufferings, the physical tribulation, and the physical persecutions. Because the physical, they lasted but for a moment, as Paul would say. But something like that would go more to the core. And again, as Paul says here, he says, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse. You see how he goes and explains the idea of you're going to suffer persecution, and then explain evil men and seducers are going to keep coming. You're going to suffer the persecution, and there's going to be evil men and seducers that are going to wax worse. And when he says waxing worse and worse, this is how it's going to be affecting you. It's going to be affecting you because it's going to be worse and worse. There's going to be more deceiving and more deceiving. Then he says, continue thou, because some might just throw in the towel. Some might faint at these evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse and deceiving and being deceived. But he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that's what we are. That's what we are to do. We are to stay the course, stay on the path, stay on that righteous and the right path that we've been given to be ones that will live godly, be ones that want to live unto Him, and that want to walk the right path and which is being led of the Spirit. See, when we're looking at this, it's the idea that, as Paul says, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. That only applies to ones that choose that path. It's not what you see today in today's church. They're not following the right path. They're ones that are being led, and as Paul says, they are ones that are taken by the snare of the devil, that are opposing themselves. Now let's come over to 2 Corinthians. Go over to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look at something, and this is a good chapter here. Actually, the whole book is good for your the sufferings of Christ. But looking at this, I want to take a look at this again. We've been looking at this, but I'm going to look at it in a different light. I want to look at it in the light of the sufferings of Christ now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's look at verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not to things which are seen, to things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And see, the sufferings of Christ produces something for you a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. See, we need to understand and appreciate that not only are you presenting yourself before your Father as a son and daughter in Christ, but you're also presenting yourself before the adversary. You're presenting yourself before the adversary, and as one that says, I want this. Bring it on. Yes, give me more sufferings, because when I suffer, then Christ's strength is made perfect in my weakness. And not only is Christ's strength made perfect in my weakness, but I am also able to learn to fully utilize his word in whatsoever state I'm in, like Paul said over there in Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to take a look at that in a little bit. Matter of fact, let's come over there now. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you are also careful, but ye lack opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed to be both full, to be full, and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Now, and he says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with me with my affliction. Okay? Now, what I'm after here is, Paul is saying that he learned. He both learned and received. He said, he told them the things that ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me to do, and the God of peace shall be with you in verse 9. But Paul says in verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in what sort of state I am therewith to be content. This is what Paul is educating the Philippians upon, and you also, that he's telling them those things in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So he's telling them in verse 11, he's showing them what he went through as that consolation doctrine, and he's explaining to them that they should walk the same way. And he says, verse 12, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. And what he's saying is, regardless of situation, he knows how to be up and he knows how to be down. He says, I know how everywhere in all things I'm instructed to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. And we talked about that before, because one of the things is what the outer man experiences. The other is what the inner man experiences. Even though the outer man is cast down, the inner man is saying, hey, I'm not cast down. I'm delivered from this. Even though the outer man is saying, I'm hungry, the inner man is saying, we're full. But we're glorying in this thing. We're going through these things because look at the bigger picture. Don't look at it through the eyes of the outward man. Look at it from the eyes of the inward man. Understand, and when you do that, you're going to do, as 2 Corinthians says, you're going to understand it as a light affliction. And you're going to say, well, this light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, that's what the inner man says. The inner man says, our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. But the outer man says, he wants to faint. That's why Paul says, and come back to 2 Corinthians again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 16 there. And see, the outer man would want to faint. Like Paul says, for which cause we faint not, And then he tells you, but though our outward man perish, because the outward man, sure, he's perishing. He wants to faint when tribulation and persecutions comes his way. But then he says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is the one that's getting some new information. He's the one that's beginning to learn. He's beginning to both learn because he received it. As Paul says, which he learned, received, and heard, seen in me, do. And then as we've seen over in Philippians, Paul says, I've learned in what sort of state to be content. This is what you're being taught here. This is how we can take on the sufferings of Christ. But we have to understand what the true meaning of the sufferings of Christ is all about. And the sufferings of Christ, and at the next half an hour, we're going to look at what the sufferings of Christ is, some the verses that pertain to that, and how we partake of the sufferings of Christ. And the sufferings of Christ, even over here in 2 Corinthians, you see the sufferings of Christ being put on display here, but it can even come to the point where the sufferings get so bad that it can even get to the point over here in chapter 5. And come over to chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, let's go to verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle, which is our body, in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but be clothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now, this is talking about sufferings, but even if it came to you losing your life. And that's what Paul says, we are confident. Verse 8, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He's talking about the idea of you not being in that tabernacle anymore, along with these sufferings that were spelled out here. And this is something that's vital for us to understand and appreciate, because we are ones that when you do live godly in Christ Jesus and suffer persecutions, it could get to the point where it got with Paul, where it got with, just say, John the Baptist, for instance, with the other apostles, with Stephen. You see, these guys were, they were God, they were living godly. They were teaching God's word. They were full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to say in this time that could happen, but it could get to that point. But this is something that we want to take a look at here. And while we're looking at that, let's come back to Romans chapter 8. Let's come back to Romans chapter 8 here. And let's look down to verse 35 here. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, as you see here in verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, that who is Satan. And we know just by, well, we didn't get there yet, but in looking at verses 19 through 21, you don't have to go there now, it talks about that creature was made subject to vanity because of sin. Sin entered into the world. And we know Satan is the mover and shaker of that. And again, as I said before, the sufferings of Christ, you're going to be affected by the things you see that are written here in verse 35 and 36 here. And looking at that, like, I'm going to go through this again, when it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ in verse 35, and then when you look over there in verse 39, it says, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. You're looking at two different instances because the love of Christ is something that's going to affect us and affected Christ. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. These are things that we could face on this earth and things that we face as being ones that are taking on the sufferings of Christ. When you're looking at the things over here in verse 38 and 39, when it says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate from the love of God, you're dealing with the things that God loves, or our love of God. These are things that deal with the creature, things that deal with life itself, with death itself. Angels, you're talking about the governmental structures and things of that nature, and the height and the depth, any other creature. But in looking at the tribulation there, what's key to understand is that the sufferings of Christ, you're going to go through the tribulation. And we're going to start back at 35 here. It says, who should separate us from the love of Christ? This is, Paul is itemizing it here. Tribulation. This type of tribulation is not the same type of tribulation that is spoken of as the sufferings of this present time. But it's a tribulation that you go through because you are living godly, because you chose to live godly. You suffer tribulation or troublous times. The distress is things that we go through where we need to use patience in these things. As some of the things that Paul said over there in Philippians, the things that he used, and using God's word as the fruits of the Spirit, those benefits of the Spirit that we get. We can use his word when we go through tribulation because of the sufferings of Christ. When we go through distress, or when we are persecuted, or as he said, dealing with things, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. And some of these things would not affect us in living godly, for Christ's sake, but in some places, they do. And what I also want to take a look at is, and one thing we need to understand is, when I said at the outset that we're not only presenting ourselves before the Father as a son and daughter in Christ when we're going through these sufferings in the present time, we're also presenting ourselves before Satan as well. And I want to go back to and take a look at a passage there, and I want to look at the time when Jesus himself, you remember when Jesus himself, after he got baptized by John the Baptist, the first thing he does after he became baptized, and when the Father says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased, the first thing he did was what? He went to be tempted of the devil. And this is significant to understand because as a son, as the Father said, This is my son in whom I am well pleased. And it says he went to be tempted. Now, let's come over to Mark. Let's come back to Mark. Let's look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And let's take a look at verse 6. Yeah, let's go to verse 6 here. And it's talking about John the Baptist here and Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 6. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed am baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drave him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now, you see, in the other accounts, we can see exactly what took place and what he was ministered of, actually tempted of, the whole idea of it is not meant that man should live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out the mouth of God. Now, what the Lord said there is similar how we're to live by. We're to live by, as Paul says, if you be, that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We also are led by God's word. When temptation comes your way, when this world is persecuting you or tempting you, excuse me, we have a doctrine that we're supposed to partake of or eat of. We are to be fed by that, be led by that. As Jesus was tempted, being that Son, as the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And notice in verse 12, and immediately the Spirit drave him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan. Now, Jesus, he could have avoided that. He could have avoided that, just as most of the other apostles, the apostles or Stephen and them guys who knew the persecutions that were going to come onto them. But they didn't throw in the towel. They didn't faint. They knew what the bigger picture was all about. They didn't care about that the outward man was perishing or getting ready to perish. They only wanted to glorify God, not with their flesh, as we see many do today. They wanted to do it with the inner man. When you see people today, when they talk about giving praise and honor unto the glory of God, they do it by way of singing, which only glorifies themselves. They do it by way of so-called praise camps or whatever you call them things, where they're having shows and rummage sales or whatever the issue comes up to, where they feel that they're giving honor and glory to God, but they're doing it with the flesh. They don't see the value in suffering. They want the sufferings taken away from them. And they feel when that happens, God is blessing them. God is, that's when they'll tell you God is good all the time. Because he's good, they feel that he's good whenever they're taken out of a suffering or tribulation. But that's not how a son thinks. That's not how a son thinks. A son understands he glories in those sufferings. He does as Paul says, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. He doesn't be one that would faint. But we have to understand that what we see or the things that we came out of in the church world, there's no godliness involved with that at all. And for the ones that are justified, they're still partaking in commandments and doctrines of men. They're not even looked upon as a weaker brethren. A weaker brethren would be one that is being educated in the doctrine. They just haven't been brought up to speed yet. They're still drinking milk doctrine, getting ready to be ones that are taught or being ones that are brought up in the correct doctrine. But when you see ones today that are still doing the same thing they've been doing for 20 years, following the commandments and doctrines of men and the denominations, they're saints who are given over to Satan. They're ones that oppose themselves and taken captive by Satan at his will. But as you see here, getting back on the subject here, Jesus Christ himself was taken and tempted of the devil as that son. As that son, he presented himself before a Satan. And he explained that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God is what he's to live by. Even though his outer man was perishing, his inward man was being renewed day by day. Now let's come back over to Romans chapter 8. And let's take a look at some of the things again here. Romans chapter 8, and let's come over to verse 29. Actually 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'm going to stop there because, as you see the call that we are, we're called to his purpose, not according to our own purpose. For whom, and I hate to keep bringing up others that are confused and caught in the snare in these other church denominations, but it's something that we have to be aware of, that most of the people assume that when it comes to God and worshiping God and glory being given to God, it all centers around their purpose. It all centers around what they are doing, what God is doing in their life, not what their life is doing based upon God's word. And whatever the situation, they say, what are you doing today, God? What do you got for me today? Every time they take a step, they feel this is another obstacle or another challenge. And it's all based upon the betterment of their life. But as you see here in verse 28, to them who are called are the called according to his purpose. And then it says in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Why? To be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the purpose. Your purpose in life, your purpose-driven life, if you want to say it that way, your purpose-driven life is to be conformed to the image of his Son. In verse 30, more for whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I just want to say, that was a little joke when I said the idea of a purpose-driven life. I know some guy made a book about that, supposedly a way people can live their sanctified life. But, again, a book like that is just there to sell books, make money, and have nothing to do with God's word at all. It has nothing to do with God's word at all. Books like that, the self-help books and things like that, because how you live a purpose-driven life, it's not about your purpose, it's about his purpose. And doing things to the whatever your life is going to be, it's concerning his word and his will for his sake. Now let's come over here to verse 11, 31 here. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give us all things? And Paul is explaining to you that the sacrifice that God made that for us, he gave up his only son for us. And then he says, that should tell you right there, God is for you. Even if that doesn't tell you, these five things here should tell you that also. You've been predestinated. You've been called. He foreknew you. He justified you, glorified you. Those five things, he made provision for us. How much more would you, how much more can show you that God is for you? And then he comes down here and says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. And then he goes on to look down 35 on to 39, explain about the sufferings of Christ. And these are things that we need to understand what the bigger picture is. And let's look at what Paul says about that. Come over to 2 Corinthians. Let's look at chapter 12. Let's look at chapter 12. And let's come to, matter of fact, let's look at chapter 11. Chapter 11, and I just want to take a look at verse 29, and then we're going to look at 29 and 30, then we're going to go over to chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29, who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I would rather glory in the things which concern my infirmities. Now, Paul is saying this right after he talked about the things he went through. He talks about the things he went through from in verse 23 on down to verse 28. That all the things he went through at that time, early on in his ministry, he says he still wants to glory in his infirmities. Now, we got to understand something there. When Paul says he's glorying in that, all throughout the time that even Paul wrote 2 Timothy like we looked at earlier there, Paul had learned at that time to even glory more in his sufferings. Even in the book of Philippians, which was written after this, Paul explained he's learned how to be abased and to abound. He said at that time he wants to glory and he be joyful in these infirmities. Now let's take a look over here in chapter 12 here. And let's look at verse 1. It is not expedient for me to doubt. For me, doubtless, to glory. And again, he's talking about glory in here. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but my infirmities. I'm going to stop there. You see where Paul talks about where the glory should be placed upon? Not upon himself, not the fact of who he is as our apostle and a chosen vessel of the Lord. He has reason to glory, but as he said, he would rather glory in his infirmities. Let's look at verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. Well, because that's what Paul would be. Let's pick it up here. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be or heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there gave to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So I'm going to stop there. And see, Paul was getting revelation. He was getting revelation from the Lord. God was giving him word. Also, there was a messenger of Satan to come in and as Paul said, to buffet him. And if they had to, what the issue was there, it says it was a messenger of Satan. He had to have a message. There was something he was giving over to Paul. As Paul says, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Because as God has given him his word, here's Satan with the temptation, with these sufferings, with these infirmities. But Paul knew also, that's something Paul learned. Paul's going to explain what he learned here. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And look at what Paul's attitude is when he says this. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become a fool in glorying. He hath compelled me, for I have ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Now you see what Paul says here. He says that he learned, well actually he says, most gladly therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he says, therefore I take pleasure. Not only does he want the sufferings, when they come, he glories in that. He gets excited. As he says, he takes pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Now all the things here that you see that Paul says, when you look, come back, hold your place there, but come back to to chapter 8, verse 35. Hold your place there. Let's come back to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. And as he says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Now when Paul went through tribulation, it says tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of sword. Now when you go, when you turn back over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, these things line up from what he said there. Infirmities, he takes pleasure in. Infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecution, in distress, in distresses. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He says, I become a fool in glorying. But Paul learned something. Paul learned that after, when he besought the Lord three times that that might depart from him, he knew what the bigger picture was about. Because the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, we ought to ourselves have this written down somewhere. Well, we have it in our Bibles, but something that we can remember this, what the Lord said here. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's something we ought to carry about ourselves. That's something we ought to carry about and replay that, allow that to work effectually within us. As Paul talks about when we allow that word to dwell richly within us, when we allow God's word to dwell richly in us, when we go through things, you're going to be led by the Spirit. And that's what it means to be led by the Spirit. Because even though something is in front of you and you see something, the outer man sees it, your inner man is operating upon a different doctrine. He's starting to learn how to control the outer man. He's operating upon doctrine that says, when he's going through things, I remember what the Lord said. When Paul suffered as a consolation unto me, for me, because of what Paul went through, we are operating upon consolation doctrine when we suffer the sufferings of Christ. And we can remember this, how Paul learned when he took what the Lord told him, that my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness, in our weakness. We can be ones after we have done this and went through it again and went through it again and so on and so on, when we're able to use it, we'll say, wait a minute, that worked. So when suffering does come, we can be as Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I'll rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Well, we know the privilege that there is, that when we are going through the sufferings of this present time or the sufferings of Christ, man, the power of Christ is resting upon us. We can say, as verse 10 says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. That's the bigger picture. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's how you can put the strength of Christ, put Christ's strength on display in your life. That's how you can give praise and honor and glory unto God. That's how you can do as one say that they're doing daily. Let me ask why they go to church. Some people go to church and stay in church until 12 o'clock. Well, I guess as long as the money's coming in. But you ask them, well, what are you doing? Oh, we're worshiping God. But this is how you live godly. This is how one thinks like God does, do things God's way, and work together with him in what he's doing. And this is what we ought to do also. Now, I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to go open things up for the Q&A session. *61 will get you into the queue. Went over a little over here. *61 will get you into the queue. If you have a question or answer, question or comment, please press *61 and get into the queue there. But again, that is something that we need to understand. We need to understand how to be as ones that are the calls, ones that are called according to his purpose. Being though we are ones that are predestinated, as we see over there in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to open the call here. 4391, you're in the queue. Sister Janice, you're in the queue. Okay. See. All right, I think there's a little technical difficulty here. Try one more time. You're in the queue. Okay. Still don't hear anything. Okay. Try one more time. All right. Okay. Well, again, I would appreciate everyone. Thank everyone for listening in. And next week, we're going to go over the sufferings of Christ again. But this time, we're going to be taking a look at the opposition. And we looked a little bit at that, at Satan's opposition and this world's opposition onto you. And we're going to take a look at the other issues that's associated with it. So I'm going to close things out here. And until next week, thank you.
If this study has been of some help to you, you can always tune back in every Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern to listen in for more of God's edification, Rightly Divided. And also you can listen to this study over again on the playback number of 641-715-3609. That's 641-715-3609. And this study will be available all week. Thanks again for listening in. Thank you.